This is a really important podcast, Kathy. Hopeless, not truthless. And Garcelle...
Are you talking to me now?
Yes, you're laughing at...
I'm laughing because she's funny. It's not about your podcast. Okay, the name is not amazing, but they do good work.
They do amazing work. Hey guys, it's Sarah.
And Narelle.
You're listening to Hopeless, Not Truthless.
The truthful podcast about hopeless people. Where do we start?
I'm exhausted.
I'm a little hungover. That was an intense reunion. Finale. Fuck me. That was an intense finale.
I have so many thoughts.
I did go into it wondering. I'm like, okay, this is it. This is the moment. Are we actually going to see what it is that Sheena and Lala have been telling us?
Yeah.
Like, just wait. You're going to change your mind. Just wait. And I was like, maybe it's going to happen. Yeah, it did not happen.
It did not happen for me. And I was very open-minded.
You're probably more open-minded than I am.
Probably.
Nothing came.
Nope.
In fact, it just made me think less of Lala and Sheena, I'm sorry to say.
And Brock, baby. And,
well, yeah. And I'm not actually sorry to say it, so.
No, I'm with you. I do have to say, I think the show's over. I think this is the goodbye.
So I have seen it confirmed that it's not over.
With this cast?
No. That there could possibly potentially be a cast shakeup.
Right.
Honestly, I'm not against that.
No, it needs to happen. I don't want to see Lala and Sheena anymore.
No.
In this capacity. Anyway, I think the dead horse has been beaten. Okay.
Truthfully, I don't want to see them on the Valley either. I think what the Valley has is different enough that if they were to, and that's why it's working, like if they were to bring over parts of VPR, it's just going to become boring again. Like, leave the Valley as a separate entity. Maybe pick up Lala and Sheena in a couple years from now. Like, give the Valley a couple seasons. They can come on as friends, maybe, but I don't want it to just become where, like, VPR goes to die, you know, like palliative care for VPR. Leave the Valley alone. I just don't want to see Sheena and Lala anymore, or Brock.
Yeah.
I don't want to see the Toms. I think Katie and Ariana could maybe do a spinoff, like something about her. Okay, listen, this is, I've just rewritten the entire show here, and this is exactly what should happen. All of the people who own restaurants, so the Toms, Katie and Ariana, something about her. And Lisa Vanderpump Rules could become a show about all of their staff. So we're still having...
Does this include the Toms?
Yeah.
Okay.
The staff at the restaurant at Schwartz and Sandy's, like the way that the staff interacts, the newbies coming onto the scene and like their staff interacting with something about her. Maybe they're all splitting shifts. Maybe they're going around from restaurant to restaurant. We're still getting the OGs more in a managerial role the same way that Lisa Vanderpump has become, you know, but we're not relying on them to bring the drama because they're just not anymore.
No, they're past it. It's done. And it's forced. And I think that's why we all need a break from this crap, man.
It's forced. And for the very reason that there were no other storylines, that's why there was so much pressure and anger towards Ariana this season. Like, Lala had no storyline. She had nothing to talk about.
Nothing. And neither did Sheena.
Not a single other person had a storyline. It all came down to Ariana.
It did.
Being forced to interact with Tom. And you can't be angry at her when you're not bringing anything to the show either. I agree with you. It's kind of beating a dead horse at this moment. I'm glad they're taking time off, like that the show's putting them on pause, but I don't know if that's enough.
I know. I don't know. I really feel like this cast is no more.
Yeah, I think you're right, honestly. Having said that, I really did enjoy this finale. It was intense.
Very intense. The first 11 minutes, I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
I think we should probably get into it because I was drinking and I did take a lot of really unhinged notes that I'm going to have to weed through here.
So. I love it. Okay, let's go for it.
Vanderpump Rules, Season 11, Episode 15, Plot Twist. First of all, What was the plot twist?
I know. I thought, what a stupid name. And it's all because Schwartz at the end is, whoa, that was a fucking plot twist. What, Ariana sticking by her boundaries like she's done all season? That? Really?
Her continuing to do the exact same thing that she has said she's always going to do? That was the plot twist? That she didn't allow you guys to walk all over her? Oh, okay, I getcha. So let's start things off here. Lala talking to Katie.
Oh.
I have a weird feeling, okay, the way that she's talking to Katie in this moment and the way she's almost trying to bait Katie into saying something bad about Dan.
Yeah, there's something odd going on because Lala and Katie spend a lot of time together. And I'm kind of surprised by that because Katie doesn't normally stand for the bullshit, especially the Ariana hatred bullshit, which Lala has been very vocal about. I really think this proves to us how much Lala is being a backstabber. I think she says one thing to these people's face off camera, and then on camera she turns into this character.
I think it also could be the flip side of that, that Katie has maybe related to Lala off camera. Maybe she's said something along the lines of, yeah, Ariana is becoming a little bit much, or specifically, I think maybe she said something about Dan that wasn't very kind, that Lala is trying to bait out of her and make her say on camera. I have a feeling during the reunion, Lala is going to accuse Katie of not being real. Because she made this comment earlier in the season where I forget exactly what they were doing, but something had happened and gone down with either Tom, one of the Toms. And Lala was like, yeah, me and Katie were both sitting there like feeling kind of sorry for him. And I remember you and I were like, no, she fucking wasn't. Only you were, Lala. But she's made a couple comments like that where she's aligned Katie with herself against either Ariana or against Dan or whatever. I just have a feeling she's going to throw Katie under the bus. I'm calling it.
Ooh, okay. This I would love to see.
So next up, we've got Brock and Sheena, and they're discussing the events to come with the show, as well as what went on between her and Sandoval the night before. And you know what? Here we fucking have it, folks. Not only is Brock not neutral, he's not even in the middle. He's not even pretending anymore. He is placing himself squarely on Sandoval's side now. Because Tom is the one reaching out to them? Are you fucking kidding me? It's because Tom has something to prove to you, Brock.
Exactly. You can be bought, Brock. That's very evident. Yeah. That's the takeaway, okay?
You and your wife equate friendship with favors and, like, financial gifts.
Monetary, yeah, equivalent.
Yeah.
Totally. And he uses every chance he gets to bash Ariana. It is so disgusting to see.
It's so transparent.
You know, I feel like this man has short-term memory loss because wasn't it at the beginning of the season when Sandoval didn't even respond to any of their text messages when they were offering condolences for the loss of his friend?
Yes, it absolutely was.
Yes. Sarah. Okay. And he's like, Ariana never reaches out. Tom always reaches out. Well, you guys were literally just bitching about this.
Of the whole friend group, Tom is the one who's always been there. He's like always, you know, showing up and answering texts. And yeah, no, that's a really good point, Sarah. That was like, what, 10 weeks ago?
Yeah, exactly. He deleted Summer Moon off of his Instagram, okay, or unfollowed her. Like, hello. You guys are just using anything. You're saying bullshit things.
What is Brock's motivation here?
To stay on the show. And I think that's all of their motivation. They want the show to live. I don't know. I read a comment on Twitter and someone's like, I will bet my life that there is some sort of bonus to the person who gets Ariana and Tom to talk.
I mean, it's funny, but it's also maybe a little bit true. I know that producers had been badgering the cast to like make these scenes happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's where Brock is coming from. I'm so angered that the cast didn't rally with Ariana against producers, you know?
Yeah.
We could have had that Spice Girls season that we all deserve, that we all fucking wanted. I think they also underestimated the audience.
Absolutely, they did. Because misogyny is comfortable.
Yeah, it's what we're all used to on this show. It's all we've ever had on this show. So I don't even know if that's what Brock truly wants to do or if he just thinks that's what he has to do to be on the show. Either way, I did appreciate that Sheena kind of a little bit stood up for Ariana here and was like, no, she is a good friend. I don't think you know her well enough to be making that call, Brock.
Yeah. Well, thank God she at least defended her there. And I will say, Sheena does seem genuinely torn in only the way Sheena can. I don't think most people would have this much of a response to Tom Sandoval after what he did. You know, she says, like, I will never turn my back on Ariana. She has always been there for me. Babe, you said the exact same thing about Sandoval last week and the week before. So,
yeah.
Come on, not everyone can be your best friend, Sheena, okay?
She's literally just exchanging the name.
Totally. Some people get really caught up in wanting things to be the way they were, and that can't happen in life.
And I do think that of the entire cast, Sheena is the one that takes what people on the internet say the most personally. Ooh. And I think she is really struggling. Not like she says she's struggling because she doesn't want to come off as disloyal or hurt Ariana, but I think she's really struggling because she doesn't want to disappoint the fans. And in doing so, by trying to flip-flop between the two people, like, you're actually being more disappointing than if you just chose a side and stuck with it.
I agree, because I don't know who Sheena actually cares more about at this point.
No, other than Sheena.
Oh, well, yeah. And really, that's what this comes down to, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's all about Sheena. Yeah,
you're right. So next up, we are going to go sightseeing with the gang. They go on the trolley. They're going to get some wicked-looking food in Chinatown.
James was so cute.
Oh, my gosh. He was. What point in particular?
When he's, like, trolley? Hanging off the side of the trolley. Yeah. He's like, hello, San Francisco!
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like he'd be really fun to travel with.
Yeah. Yeah, sober James, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Specify. Have you ever heard about pouring beer and making it foamy and that makes you less bloated?
I've heard that.
Have you?
I have. You haven't, obviously?
No. Mm. It alarmed me that is true, basically. I guess Dan confirmed that it does work. So now I'm thinking and wondering about what Schwartz would look like if he wasn't doing that already. Like, how much more bloated would he be?
Oh my God, poor Schwartz.
And this is where Lala starts her Dan interrogation. Jesus fucking Christ. They aren't even interesting questions that she's asking.
No, this is personal. This is like speed dating style.
I thought it was performative. I thought it was because, like, she made a point in her confessional of being like, you know, here we have, like, another new person coming into the group. I'm not just going to let this person in without vetting them type thing.
Uh-huh. Make it make sense, Narelle. It doesn't add up, Lala. Nothing you were doing this season makes sense. You're Jekyll and Hyde.
Jekyll and Hyde. And it's like she's trying too hard while not trying hard enough.
So true.
What she should be doing. She's trying really hard at all the things we don't want to see.
Yeah, well, she's really kind of doing what Schwartz does. And he, like, Schwartz uses everyone else for his storyline.
And actually,
here
right.
She is in full force, nonstop. And that's why it's so annoying. Show us what you got going on, girl. Because right now you're just a giant hypocrite. You know what? I can't even look at Lala anymore. In this episode, I'm like, you're so ugly to me. Because she's so ugly on the inside.
It's the insides that are coming out now.
It is. I'm like, you're so unappealing in every single way. I always thought Lala was a beautiful woman. Not anymore. No, she is repulsive to me.
It's just so funny to me that this was supposed to be her soft era.
Oh, That is such a good reminder, actually. Wow.
Because she's so hard. She's rapid firing questions at Dan to try to trip him up or try to find some kind of chink in his armor. That's not soft. That's not actually trying to get to know a person. You're being a mean person. That's bully behavior.
Yeah, it really is. How uncomfortable, but he handled it perfectly.
I think Dan handled everything in this episode perfectly.
Same, girl.
Really?
Same. Yeah.
And I think it probably drove the cast nuts that they can't find anything to, like, pick him apart with.
Totally. And what did she call him earlier when she was talking to Katie? Like, this guy seems like a dud or...
A square.
A square. A square after... Okay, but it didn't make sense there either. Because then she was telling Katie, like Ariana said, he's been in many fights before. What a square. What?
Well, she said she was like... Ariana said he's, like, been in tons of fights, and if Tom even tries to come up to him and try to shake his hand, like, it's not going to happen. What a square. And I'm like, how is that a square at all?
None of it.
She elaborated on the after show that basically the person that she believed Ariana was hyping Dan up to be was this, like, big, tough guy. And then in person, she found him to be quite... timid and reserved, which, in all honesty, I don't know. There is something about Dan. I can see him being a fighter. I just don't think he fought Sandoval. I think everything was kind of below him almost. Like, I'm not getting involved in this bullshit. I'm just here to support my girlfriend. Yeah. And I think that was super mature of him.
Class act, man. I mean, he's got the abs to be a fighter like that.
I know. I think Lala literally wanted to see him, like, throw hands or something.
I totally think so. Yes.
So Sheena decides to take this moment to be the moment where she reveals that last night I put a new thing in perspective for Tom Sandoval and I saw his mask slip a little bit again. No, you didn't, Sheena.
You're just the puller of masks, aren't you, Sheena? You're revolutionary.
You fucking did not. You want to believe that that happened, but all you saw was a performance from Tom. That's all you've ever seen from Tom. What is with this woman? The way that she phrases it, like, I finally got through to him. I did. Me. I did it.
She thinks she's the man whisperer.
Oh my God. She does.
She's like, I am the only one who can make him see sense. I have that skill and that bond and that closeness with Tom. I can do it. Not even you, Ariana, the woman who was with him for 10 years. No, yeah. No. Me.
That's absolutely the vibe. And Katie breaks in at that moment and she asks the question that needed to be asked. When are we going to stop believing this man's tears? But Brock.
Love it.
Brock is like, well, because he has a genuine friendship with my wife. Like, I'm just, you know, I'm here for my wife. And you guys keep dismissing it. Okay, Brock. Okay, sit the fuck down. All right. He doesn't have that history. He's never actually gone through anything of consequence with Sandoval.
Yes. And he even admitted it.
I know. He's a big flip-flopper as well. He can't even stick to his opinions.
I agree. Like, I'm kind of that way too. Like, I switch in, like, a moment, an instance. At the core, it's the same.
I honestly don't think you do that.
Sometimes, especially recapping these shows, it feels like I do.
Well, okay, that's different, though. I'm talking about you personally. Like, if you have conviction over something personally, I don't think you flip-flop that easily, but you do consider other people. But, like, you and I are terrible flip-floppers. We'll start off an episode like, I hate this person. And then by the end, we're like, well, they're not so bad. They're okay. They're growing on me.
Well, this is why Jersey is so terrifying to recap.
Yes, I know.
Oh, my God. My thought was, maybe Brock relates to Tom, like, two misogynists together, you know, bros.
Two people who are cheating on their girlfriends. Yeah, maybe.
Ooh. Ooh. With their wife's BFF. Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah, maybe.
I did love how Ariana just trashed Schwartz, though.
I think I know why. he's the only one that she feels safe and comfortable doing that with. Like, she takes it all on the chin from Sheena all the time. She's very gracious with Sheena. She might make a little facial expressions, or like she kind of expresses her disgust, but she never really calls Sheena out for it. Or Lala or Brock or anybody. It's usually Tom Schwartz that gets the brunt of it. He deserves it.
He does. It is kind of his role.
But he also really did stick his fucking foot in his mouth here. Like, yeah, he's not a bad person. He's not a trash person. He's a good person who did a trash thing. And she's like, a trash thing? And he's like, a really trash thing. A trash thing? And he's just like, he starts to sputter. He's getting all nervous.
He doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. None of them get it.
No.
9 months or however long it was with Rachel, like a trash thing every day for 9 months.
Come a trash thing on. Every minute of every fucking day.
Yes.
For almost a year. That's not a trash thing, you fucking Muppet. And Brock doesn't get it either. The way he kind of goes after Katie in this moment, like Ariana has to step in and be like, Katie is the one defending your wife now, Brock. He's got it so fucking backwards. And I don't know if that's misogyny, but Katie is the one who's actually defending Sheena from the man. But like, Sheena doesn't even recognize that either. She wants to go towards Sandoval, the person who has yelled at her, who has called her names, who has said, I don't like you as a friend.
I mean, Brock has some pretty hefty opinions about Ariana. So it does make me wonder, are these coming from Sheena? Or is this him just hating and feeling uncomfortable when he sees women kind of ganging up on a man?
It's probably somewhere down the middle. I think Brock does oversimplify a lot of his opinions. Like, they're just based on my wife is angry. And
he's a good time friend, a fair weather friend.
He doesn't put that much thought into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he really got me going. He got me.
I was raging, actually, about Brock and the way he was talking to Katie and just standing up for Sandoval and even dismissing Sheena quite a bit about what she was saying about Sandoval. He's like, all right. He's on a mission.
He is. And even just in this scene, you can see these little looks that Schwartz and Brock are exchanging with each other. And Brock rolled his eyes a couple times when Ariana was like, she is sticking up for your wife, Brock. He's like, all right, I'm sorry. And he like rolls his eyes and looks away.
Yeah.
It's so dismissive and so disrespectful and says everything I need to know about Brock.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing in the scene that got me going was Lala in her confessional. The only place, in my opinion, that Lala is really open and honest, I think.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you know, Ariana tries to be cool, but she cares a lot. Lala, no fucking shit, babe. If you see this in your friend, Lala, maybe that should, you know, you should be like, oh, my friend's hurting.
Yeah.
Okay, she's still mourning this. But no, you're like, she just tries to be cool. Oh, look at all the brand deals she got.
How is she trying to be a cool girl just because she's setting boundaries for herself and not letting people stomp all over them?
Because at first you kind of think she means like Ariana acts like she doesn't care. Like, ew, Tom Sandoval, gross. But that isn't what she's putting off to me. When she's doing that, she's showing emotion. Disgust.
Yeah.
Hurt.
Yep.
Sadness. Pain. All of it is bundled up in those dismissive ways she speaks about him.
Agreed. After this, Brock and Sheena go back to the room where Brock had rose petals delivered.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there was supposed to be some kind of romantic scene there, but Sheena's just like, oh, that's sweet. Anyways.
Gotta report to Lisa.
Nothing happened. I'm like, okay. Maybe that was more of like, should have done that later, like when you guys came back after the party. Why was it in the middle of the day when you guys came back from like lunch? But Brock is even seeming to push Sheena here. Like you mentioned before, he again is trying to solidify with her. Like, what did he say? He was like, oh, it's good that you finally got to tell Ariana that you guys are like best friends again or something. And she's like, that's not what I said at all.
She's like, people are going to see this, Brock. You can't see this, Brock. Oh, my God. I told you that in confidence. She's too worried what people think.
She's too worried what people think. And he's just too eager to cast Ariana out and bring Tom Sandoval in.
Yeah, maybe there's another PayPal invoice being sent to Sandoval's direction. Maybe. I don't know.
So then over in Sandoval's room, did you fucking notice how messy it was in there?
Oh, I honestly, I couldn't get past the lighting sitch going on in there.
Yeah, well, he brought his own little light display, that's for sure. Such but like, so many plates of like half-eaten food.
Oh,
and yet you're the one who's coming after Ariana for leaving some leftover takeaway in her room.
After
here you are in a fucking hotel, and you've only been there for like a day, a couple days at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, and your room is covered in old food, so. You're disgusting.
I did kind of love that Schwartz came in. He's like, yeah, Dad's great. Dad's
He's
awesome.
He's so cool. He's so cool. And then, well, it just gave Tom Sandoval the excuse to be like, well, obviously, Ariana's got great taste in men.
Puke.
No, she's just learned from her mistakes, babe. The next note that I made here, just so we're all aware of my state of mind at this point, I wrote down, I'm drunk. So let's all keep that in mind as we go forward.
I love the notes that I've made.
So as you mentioned, LVP and Sheena have their little FaceTime. And Sheena's like, I feel like he actually listens to me, Lisa. Me. He picked me. And Lisa's like, I have one question for you. Do you still love him?
No.
You do? Well, there's your answer. Choose Sandoval, Sheena. Commit your soul to the show.
Season 12, darling. Season 12.
Come join me. Come join me in my underworld of misogyny. She's so fucking see-through and transparent.
Like, physically and literally.
Yeah.
Like, get out of here, you ghastly woman.
Oh, my gosh.
Guess we're never going to have LVP on the show, eh?
Probably not. Probably not at this point. I think there's a whole list of people we're probably not going to have on the show ever.
All of the men on Bravo and...
The funny thing is, all of the men on Bravo would probably still come on.
Oh my God.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they don't exactly strike me as people to, like, do research or...
Hey, Austin. Austin Kroll.
Come on. We're your biggest fans. We'd love to chat to you.
And then we could pull the Lala interrogation on him. Oh, sorry. Off topic. But that just
one day,
made me giggle.
Long-term goals. Okay.
Damn right.
So then we're going to flash back over to Katie and Lala. So Lala says that Sheena is looking for some kind of approval from Ariana. That's, you know, she just wants validation, that she's not going to lose. Ariana is a friend. This is a fucking lie, Sarah. Because at the end of this episode, that's exactly what Ariana gave to Sheena.
Yes.
And Sheena turned her back on her immediately afterwards, like in the next fucking minute.
The second she got it, she's like, free reign. Yeah. Free reign. Take me away, Sandoval. Take me away, Lala.
Yeah. I love that Katie pointed out that Sheena feels as if she should be the exception to the boundaries that Ariana is setting for herself. I feel like Katie's the only one consistently saying things throughout this season that make me feel better as a viewer. Like, she says the things that are ringing out in my mind.
Yeah, she's so on point with her thoughts. And I think Katie has always been super advanced in feminism, particularly, and misogyny.
Yeah.
Anti-misogyny. So that's why I think a lot of people in her early years didn't like Katie, including myself, because we are so accustomed to misogyny ruling, right? And it
does.
That's
a good point. That's a good point.
It's honestly so insane to me, considering Lala, the same person who reacted to Schwartz playing pickleball with Rand, is saying all of this crap. Again, none of it makes sense. This is why I feel like Lala is working completely overtime to make a story and create friction where there isn't any.
That is such a good point, because when she and Rand broke up and Schwartz tried to go play pickleball with him, she said, I will not be friends with anybody who's friends with Rand.
Yeah.
It's so hypocritical.
Oh, I just have one more thing to add, another Lala thing, because she brings up the fact Ariana is thriving yet again. She feels like just because Ariana is thriving, that should eliminate any of her negative feelings towards Sheena repairing her, her relationship with Tom. It's so gross. It's
logical, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a jealous person.
Incredibly jealous. Every single motivation for Lala this entire season, but specifically in this episode, stems from jealousy.
You nailed it and you pegged it from the get-go. And it is clear as flippant day.
It is like crystal clear. On the after show, Sheena said that she really doesn't think it's coming from jealousy.
What? Sheena said that? Oh, yes. Whatever. Yeah, of course she would.
But then in her roundabout way of explaining, like, you know, like Lala's been through so much and everyone has just rallied around Ariana in a way that, you know, we have never experienced and Lala's never experienced that. And now Lala's watching. And I'm like, babe, you are describing jealousy. That is what jealousy is. She is jealous of Ariana.
I would have so much rather preferred Lala to be honest about that and kind of sit with those emotions and feelings and be like, listen, I'm kind of annoyed with this group of friends right now because they didn't do this for me.
Or even if she said, I'm frustrated with our audience that I didn't receive that same outpouring of love. I need to sit with that and really think about, like, that's soft. Okay. That's how you be soft.
That is soft. But Lala, Rand was not on the show. Okay.
No.
Rand didn't have an affair with your bestie. It's two totally different situations. We are were invested in these two people. Your situation is so incomparable. It still is very traumatic and hurtful, sure, for you, but not for us as an audience.
And I hate to say it, but you also started off that relationship with Rand as his mistress, and you did not give a fuck about the woman that he was cheating on you with.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, I guess the same could be said for Ariana.
Oh, that's a good point. That is a good point, Sarah.
Oops. Oops-a-daisy. Sorry.
Way to just tear down my entire argument in one fell swoop.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, but Ariana's not out there saying that she's not jealous. And, you know, like, she's not out there being jealous and then trying to say that she's not jealous. She's just living her own goddamn life.
She is. And we'll talk about our conversation we had last night at the end of this. But yeah, let's carry on. There's so many things to say.
We basically had a private podcast last night. And I was like, fuck, we should really be recording this.
We really should have recorded last night because the emotions were high.
High. And Narelle was drunk.
It was so funny.
All right. Okay. We got to move on to sound check or whatever that was. Sheena shows up. And she finds out that Tom brought in his sound guy who does all the setup for his band. First of all, Sheena, babe, this is because Tom knows nothing about sound, okay? Exactly as I fucking said last week when Kyle Chan said that he was going to be in charge of managing the sound. Tom is not suited for this job. He had to bring in somebody who knows what to do. Secondly, he did this for Kyle Chan.
Yes.
Okay? He did not do this for you.
That's absolutely it, Nar. Absolutely. Yep.
And you see it in the little eyebrow raise that he did when she was like, oh, you did this for me? His left eyebrow went up and he realized, he's like, oh. Yep, she's mistaking this favor that I did for Kyle Chan as a favor that I did personally for her. I'm going to capitalize on this. And he gets this sick little grin on his face. And he was like, yes, I did do it for you, Sheena. You're welcome. I totally did it for you.
I mean, it's too easy. It's like taking candy from a baby at this point.
It literally fucking is.
I can't even blame Tom for capitalizing on it. I mean, really? Like.
And what about Sheena's smug little thing that she did in the confessional where she like takes a sip of her drink? She makes a joke about how, I guess I'm just making it about myself.
That's just me making it about me.
Sarah, I swear to God, I wanted to cram that fucking straw down her throat, her tiny little throat. Why?
Tiny little throat. Well, that's the viewers. That's her little jab toward us, which I thought was a very bold move for Sheena. Like, wow, okay, maybe you're just going to own it now. But you still continue to flip-flop the rest of this episode. So I don't know. I don't know, dude.
I guess the point that I didn't understand was she self-aware enough that she's making the joke because she actually was making something about her that was not about her in the moment?
Oh, no. Oh,
okay. No.
Oh, no. Oh, no. She is.
That's
she
the thinks... only thing that makes it funny. Absolutely. And I think it went over her head.
She's talking about how wonderful this version of Tom is. And oh, right. But, you know, that's just me making it about me. Sheena, wrong example. Okay.
So after this, everybody starts arriving. Dan and Ariana get there, and Ariana's dress is, like, giving me everything.
Whoa.
I loved the moment when James, like, whisks Allie away out to go look at the sunset. He's just so, like, he is head over heels for her. I legit really thought he was going to propose.
Same. Like, honestly, I have to admit, this made me tear up. It made me emotional. His emotion made me emotional. Yeah, I don't know if I'm feeling it from Allie, though, or if that could just be the way she is, like a little robotic.
Yeah, this was the most we've seen her say, I think. The most I've ever seen her express, like, I don't know if I'm ready to be married yet, but when I am, I want it to be with you.
Yeah. And he was so thrilled.
Yeah, he was so like, what did you say? What? Oh my God. Like,
I love him right now.
Same.
Like, he's done a lot of growing. And I think Allie honestly inspires him to be a better person. I think. So he's motivated to change and good for him.
The one thing I need from James so that I can be free to love him is I need him to acknowledge what he did with Kristen and what he's done in his relationships in the past. And I need him to acknowledge that that happened and that he's horrified by it and that he's done a lot of work on himself. And at that point, I will let myself go and I will love him proudly and publicly. But until then,
I know
I keep coming up to that wall where I'm like, I can't quite get there, James.
I know. It's so tough. Like, I was never a big James fan because, honestly, I've seen the way he's talked to women over the years, and it really disgusted me. I love this soft side of James. Yes. He is in his soft era.
And he's still funny. You're right.
But he's hysterical. I would say the most entertaining on the show, for sure.
Absolutely. And I think now he's discovered he can still be that funny without tearing people down.
Yeah.
So that shows a lot of growth. It's the not acknowledging it part. And I think that there was a preview of the reunion where Tom Sandoval throws it in his face.
What? This reunion?
Yep. And I don't know specifically if it's about Kristen, but he basically is going to hint something like, oh, yes, what about all the things you've done, James, or something like that. And James is like, shut your mouth. Like, don't you say a fucking thing.
Uh-oh.
So I don't know.
Sandoval did that to him last reunion as well.
Well, Sandoval's going to do it to every single fucking person on the show to try and throw them under the bus to deflect the attention off of him. So we'll see. So amongst the people arriving here, we've got Joseph. Joseph shows up.
I can't with the Joseph. It is so offensive to me that he calls her that.
It's offensive to me that she likes it.
I don't think she likes it.
I think she does. Because she's like, oh yeah, that's just what we do. I'm Joseph. He's T-Money. It's their little thing.
I can't imagine if you're honestly wanting a sexual relationship with a man.
She's so desperate, though.
Yeah, I know.
She wants any attention from him and a nickname. Oof. From T-Money is attention.
Oh, I can't.
Okay, but like, why are you here, Joe?
For him. She even said it.
But you just said you needed a break from him.
She can't. She can't quit him. She can't.
This is the opposite of a break. You flew out to San Francisco by yourself to come
see. Oh, no. No, Dory, Billy Lee and T were there.
Oh, did they? Okay, that's true. They probably split the flight together then. But
that
still.
Is quite a trio.
Yeah, Jesus. So literally within a minute of her getting there, he's like, hey, Joseph, nice to see you here. So anyways, I need to take you over to the lion's den. I'm about to feed you to the fucking wolves.
This is such an, this is another example of Schwartz using Joe and Katie for storyline. He just uses women. He takes advantage of women. It is so gross to me. But Joe is another willing participant.
The entire reason that he invited Joe here was to antagonize his ex-wife with her.
Totally, girl.
So he steers her over to them. Katie pegged it immediately. The second they walked up, she just side-eyed Tom and was like glaring at him. Like, are you fucking kidding? And Schwartz is like, doesn't even pretend, doesn't, you know, just not even trying to act like he's there for any other reason. He's like, so did you have something to say, Joe?
Oh my God.
Did you want to say something? I think you did.
I'm going to piss Katie off right now. Joseph, come on, do it for me.
My girl Katie, the fucking bad bitch, did not take Joe's lame apology. And I'm going to say that that was a lame apology. I'm sorry for anybody who's a Joe sympathizer. Yeah. That was fucking lame.
It really wasn't an apology, actually, in my opinion.
No. What she did kind of get there in the end, because Katie called her on it. She said, sorry, if. There's no if. Joe did correct herself and give a real apology after that. But at that point, it means nothing.
That's right. To be educated on how to apologize and then you do that, it's just like, no, that's not real. The thing that I got. She's like, you know, I sent you the, or, you know, the whole thing about the text. Of course, like, that would be so disturbing. You're getting a text from someone. I'm so sorry. I love you. Blah, 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 blah. Katie calls her out. Why would you send those texts and then go sleep with him and stay with him? She's like, well, I wasn't your friend though, Katie. Then why would you send a text like that if you weren't her friend, Joseph?
Bingo. Bingo. You cannot say, I was being a good friend to you, Katie, I sent you this really nice text because I was worried about you, and then flip it around and be like, well, I wasn't your friend, so it doesn't matter. Like, why are you mad? I wasn't your friend. I fucking was getting so heated when both Joe and Schwartz were like, I didn't live there. I wasn't living with him. And they brought it back down to semantics.
Yes, they did.
The fact that this spooky bitch tried to get an apology out of Katie.
Oh, what? Sarah. Is this a death wish? What is going on? And then, of course, Schwartz is like, Katie, come on. Don't be like that. Like, just using it as an opportunity to embarrass her yet again, criticize her, put her down. I'm sure Katie is well past it and aware enough to know what he's doing. So she's like, screw you, Tom.
Did this not remind you of last finale when Katie and Schwartz went out into the alley and fucking Rachel comes up and tries to bust into their conversation and Schwartz starts taking Rachel's side against Katie? I'm like, it's the same reunion. Finale, whatever. It's the same finale all over again.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that. Yes. Yes, you're so right. Like, anytime Schwartz can defend another woman in front of Katie, he does it because he just loves to see her be like hurt and pissed. I am going to say something that you may not like, but
I'm excited.
I really wish Ariana moved next to Katie and to defend her in this moment. And she didn't.
Where was she?
She was there-ish, but she stayed silent again. And I don't like it. I don't like it. She knew what was going on.
I agree with that. The whole season, she has not defended Katie the way that Katie has defended her. I agree with that.
Yeah.
100%.
Okay.
That's right. She was off to the side with Dan trying to explain it to him.
Exactly. And I'm like,
she's just sipping her drink. And Dan's like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah. And that was the other thing. That says a lot to me.
That says a lot to me that Ariana has actually moved past this and is not bothering to explain a single thing about this petty drama to her new boyfriend. That's what that suggests to me.
It suggests to me that she isn't talking to Dan about her bestie. Like, I'd be like, oh my God, like with your issues, you know, a little bit.
Joe. I think she hasn't bothered to probably explain what has happened with Joe, but maybe. I think Katie and Dan have like spent a lot of time together. So like,
I think
the whole aspect of anything scandal related or Joe related, I don't think she's really talking to Dan about it at all.
You know what? Good point. Okay. I understand. I get that.
And you know, I really think Katie's justified in her anger here. Joe's not sorry. She still feels like what she did was okay. And she keeps justifying it, even though she fakely tried to apologize for it. And you know what? That's actually fine. But you gotta own it. Joe. Don't come around Katie looking for a fucking apology. And then bitch says, let him go.
Oh,
to Katie. Are you kidding me?
Your little tea money or tea bag, whatever the hell his name is the one shoving you in Katie's face, lady. Aren't you putting it together here?
You never made it past Friends with Benefits with Tom Shorts. And yet you're the one making a public fool of yourself over him and unable to let him go. And here you are trying to tell his ex-wife who divorced him to let him go? Are you kidding? Are you actually kidding? Because that would maybe be funny. I don't think you are, though. So it's actually pathetic.
It is. Like, even on her Instagram a few weeks ago, she's like, I will love you forever, T-Money. Yes. Like,
yes.
Let it go, Joe. Okay?
So then she starts to cry.
Oh.
And she runs away. And you know who didn't chase after her? Or who wasn't even worried at all?
Teabag.
Yeah, Teabag. Teabag. The one who invited her here.
Did Lala?
No, nobody did.
Oh, that's kind of shocking, actually, after how she behaved in this situation.
Joe just disappeared. She wasn't.
She didn't. Spooky Joe.
Spooky Joe. Poof. Gone.
Yeah.
Did you see Brock's little dance? His little sparkle suit dance.
I mean, he did look a lot better in the sparkle suit than that outfit with the mustache he had going on earlier in the epi.
I don't know. He's got like a G.I. Joe haircut now, though. I can't get behind it.
No. It's not good. No, I know.
I would like to take back everything I've ever said about Brock being attractive. I just want to put that on record.
That was part of our rant yesterday. Like, how dare we publicly have said this man was attractive after what
he has
done? Can't
believe we publicly admitted we ever found him attractive at all. So embarrassed. So this is where Sandoval sidles up to Mr. Sparklesuit and he gives him a little hug. Thanks him for being such a good bro. For having his back against the evil Ariana. And Sheena wishes that Ariana could see how much that Sheena is struggling in this situation. While directly ignoring the fact that Ariana is the one who's rising above all of this in reality, and that it is Sandoval who has put her in this position.
Uh-huh.
Like, they fist bumped.
Yeah.
Okay?
No, they're tight. They're tight.
They're very tight.
The three of them are very tight. Yeah.
Incredibly. Yeah, the three musketeers, for fucking sure.
And then Lala is the mascot.
And then after this, Sandoval headed over to where Ariana is sitting with Dan. I don't know why this really struck me, but as he's walking over, he like wipes his mouth like he was drooling.
What? I missed it. No.
He like wipes his face the way that you would if you like had food all over your face or you were drooling. He's like, hi.
A sloppy drunk man.
It was really gross. I don't know. Maybe he's like a nervous drooler.
He could be.
And so this was very forced interaction, forced by Tom. He tried to throw it at Dan. I think maybe he was almost like, let me see if I can catch him off guard.
That's how it felt.
Yeah. Dan was cool. He was super cool. Did not shake his hand.
No.
But was just like, okay, yeah, cool, man. Good to meet you. Yep. Anyways, back to what I was doing before you got here. And he's so nervous. There's so much like nervous energy coming off of Drooly Tom. It goes back to Schwartz. He's like vibrating.
Schwartz then like it becomes even more nervous than Sandoval. He's like, How did it go? How did it go? I gotta leave.
They're both just like,
They're so scared of Dan. He had them both in like a chokehold.
Yeah.
I loved it. Like, I can't believe Tom put his hand on Dan, though. Like,
dude. Oh, I could.
I mean, I could. But, like, how dare you, sir?
How dare you?
Oh. How
dare you? But this got us maybe my very favorite quote from Ariana.
Yes.
The whole series. Probably my favorite quote of this entire show ever was her saying that I'm not here as a cog in the machine of Tom's redemption arc. I was like, yes, bitch, yes.
So brilliant.
I swear to God, I heard all of us applauding in that
moment. Oh, it was so poignant. And I loved that you could tell she was saying this to the producer across from her.
Yep, literally. Yeah.
Like, I am so proud of Ariana for sticking to her boundaries in this way, because this is a very difficult and taxing thing to do. It's way more natural, of course, to be friendly and jovial, and even if you hate someone.
I wouldn't say natural. I would say easy.
Easy. You're right.
It's easier to just wipe it under the carpet and go ahead, like, go along with the flow.
Yeah.
What she's doing, you're right, is a lot harder. And it is a lot more real.
It's so much more real. Because that is what most people, how they would want to behave, whether they admit it or not. But it's not how most people would behave. So no. I applaud her for this.
Same. Did you applaud Sheena for her performance? What did you think? Was it...
Not a syllable was sung, my dear.
What was that outfit, Sarah? Her first gold dress, I thought, was so cute. And then she was like, I'm going to dress up like C-3PO from Star Wars.
It's so Sheena.
Is it?
Well, if it's gold, is Sheena. She seemed pretty drunk, actually. After the performance, she seemed wasted when she was talking to Ariana.
Now I need a shot, was like the only thing she said after lip syncing. Mm-hmm.
Her lip sync, yeah.
You know, Ariana ran up to her afterwards, and she genuinely looked so excited to talk to Sheena and congratulate her. And she was so happy. And then immediately, Sheena changes the subject to fucking Sandoval.
It's unreal. Stop talking about it. Can't you have a conversation with your best friend without bringing up her ex?
One single solitary conversation at this point that doesn't have something to do with Tom Sandoval. Like, you just performed. How about you talk about that? How about you talk about something exciting about your future? Like, why do you have to bring it back to Sandoval in this moment?
She didn't.
I was given Ariana props for saying, can you do me a favor and just not talk to me about this, please?
Totally. Because she knows what Sheena's like. She knows Sheena won't let it go. Yeah. She knows she's disloyal, basically. The fact that Ariana can look past this with Sheena, she's like, listen, I don't want to hear about it. You do you. I think you're kind of being silly, but that's fine. But you will never lose me. You're my family. How gracious.
And like a big hug, kiss.
Yeah.
It was a very tearful moment. It's everything that Sheena has ever wanted this entire season. It's right. Everything she needed to hear. But it seemed to mean nothing. Because literally 30 seconds later, she's turning around to Sandoval and saying, well, she said you were being performative. She said I'm an idiot.
Right. Fuck, Sheena. You lost me. You lost me. It gets even worse. She gave you what you wanted, as you said, Narelle, and you took it and you threw it in the garbage.
The single solitary thing I will give Sheena in this moment is after hearing Ariana say, like, no, I actually don't want an apology from him whatsoever. I want nothing from him, Sheena. She did stop Tom from going after her.
She did. Yes.
That's it, though. That's the last thing I'm ever going to say good about Sheena. But she also set that in motion. Like, she planted the seed in Tom's head. She encouraged Tom to do it. So, yeah, after finding out that you got it fucking so wrong, you do have to stop that man from running after her.
Yes. And the fact that Sheena didn't really know that about Ariana does say something. But I will give her the benefit of the doubt on that one, because I could understand the mixed messages, like, and how Sheena interprets things. Like, I feel like she does want this apology, when in all actuality, Ariana did not at all.
No, and I think, like, my perspective is it was just projection, because Sheena wants that apology.
Yes, good point.
So she assumes, well, of course Ariana does.
I did kind of laugh when Sheena tried to make it a kind of reverse the role again. Like, now she's Team Ariana again, when she goes, so what do I mean to you? Don't make me look like a fucking idiot, Tom. And then storms away.
Oh, babe. You don't need Tom for that.
You don't.
So this is where Ariana goes over to production. Like, she beelines over to them and she's fucking steamed. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, he wouldn't care if I died in a ditch or if I was dead from some STD because he's out fucking behind my back, which is such a good fucking point.
Yes, it is.
Like, fuck production. I'd be fucking fuming. She has had it written in her, to her contract that she didn't have to do a one-on-one scene with this man.
Good for her.
She knew it was coming. She even said, she's like, I'm the final boss in this man's video game of redemption. Mm-hmm. So she knew exactly what he was going to do.
Yes, she did.
She knew that he had to do it with an audience. It had nothing to do with actually apologizing to Ariana or actually, you know, fixing anything. And she mentioned this on the after show, too, because I guess it was directly following this finale. Like, they were both at home, and she said it was very, very rare that they ever ran into each other, but they just so happened to be in the kitchen, like, alone. Like, she went down there to get some mail, and he was sitting in the living room.
Oh.
And it was a perfect opportunity, and he just ignored her. There's nothing legitimate, and she knows it.
She knows Tom. She knows what he needs to do for his ego. Yeah.
And she is immediately proven right, because what does he do?
Yes. Yes,
he flips the fuck out.
Loses his shit.
His narcissistic anger comes bubbling out of him, and he starts raging. And, you know, she hates all of you. She talks shit about you guys all the time.
She's lazy.
Yeah, get off your lazy ass. You know, she's just sitting there collecting a paycheck. Like, don't be on the show if you don't want to film with your ex.
It proved her point perfectly. He is pissed he's not getting his moment with the audience to really seal the deal of redemption. She didn't allow it, and I love this for her.
Yeah. She gray rocked him to the very fucking end, and he lost the goddamn plot. I watched Watch What Happens Live.
Oh, okay. Who was on?
Him and Jax.
Oh, right. It
was the worst Watch What Happens Live I've seen in a very long time.
What?
It was awful, Sarah. Like, Andy just threw them softballs. They basically talked about the past. It was so boring. The one takeaway I had, though, that was an interesting little tidbit. Tom Sandoval freely admitted that everything he said in this moment about Ariana hating everybody and talking shit about them behind their back was a lie.
What?
Yeah. He said that he was exaggerating for a dramatic effect.
Wow. Because to be perfectly honest with you, I could believe it. I could believe that Ariana has never really...
That's what he's preying on.
Yeah.
That's what he's preying on. And that's exactly why he said it to their faces, because he's trying again to rally them against Ariana. And Lala fucking eats it up with a spoon.
Of course. Oh,
she's the one that gets up now and has her little monologue about Ariana becoming God. And what else did she say? Oh, now she thinks she's Beyonce.
Oh, yeah. And I don't understand how she can film with someone who she stays with under the same roof.
Because she owns that roof, you dumb bitch. Fuck.
Exactly.
Fuck. Like, seriously, fuck.
It's so disturbing. All of the comments I'm seeing, negative comments towards Ariana on Facebook, Twitter, whatever, they're all about the fact she is staying in the house. And people don't understand. They're like, well, I left when I got cheated on. Did you own the house, though? No.
If you did, you're real dumb to leave because you're forfeiting any, you know, ownership that you have in that property. Ariana is, I'm not even gonna, let's not even touch on that subject, because if you don't understand it by this point, you're not going to ever understand it.
We've all had the opportunity to learn about this in this last year. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I just can't believe that in Lala's mind, like, sticking to your boundaries that you've set for other people makes you Beyonce.
Oh, my God. Like, what a compliment to Beyonce, honestly. And then for her to say, you didn't kill anybody. He didn't kill anybody. And she moved on 8 days later. She just loves throwing that one out there. She's so vicious. She's so cruel. The things that this person actually feels and thinks on the inside, just, we got a little sneak peek here. I think she is a very nasty, dirty person.
I think she is full of anger and vitriol and hate for other people and jealousy. And I'm not sure that there's much else in the depths of Lala.
Yeah.
This was the moment, I think, that was supposed to turn all of us. We were all supposed to be just as annoyed at Ariana for walking off during the finale as Lala was.
Yeah. And you know what? They were still filming her outside waiting for an Uber, weren't they? Yeah. So... she said, I'm done for the night.
Exactly. You crossed my boundary, so it's time for me to leave.
No, Lala and Sheena cannot handle it because they feel they have gone through just as much shit as Ariana because they're delusional, okay? And maybe to both of their defense, maybe they have. But Ariana didn't really have to do that much to have the world's favor. And they feel it's unfair. And that's where all of this is coming from. It's so hard to watch because they don't understand why the public cares about Ariana and not them.
It's so hard to watch because they're so angry and jealous and pretending to actually have like an altruistic motive when it's just so transparent. We have the last little thing to talk about here is the hot mic moment. Tom's hot mic where Schwartz is like, well, that was a plot twist. And Tom Sandoval laughs and he's just like, oh, well, I love it. It's good for me.
Yeah.
Are we even surprised?
No.
That's exactly what I would expect his mentality to be.
Exactly. This is all he cares about.
Yeah.
That's why the producers wanted Tom. They don't want Ariana. Let's be real. Ariana's not exactly great TV. She is now because she has a very interesting life. But if comparatively looking in the past, Sandoval versus Ariana, Sandoval is way better for reality TV. He's a nightmare like Jax, you know?
Yeah.
They know that. So that's why they were forcing it.
So these last 2 minutes of the episode, I guess, are what they're going to show them and have them watch in real time with each other, which strikes me as kind of manipulative towards Ariana.
Yeah, it does.
Like they're trying to evoke an emotional reaction from her.
Another one.
Because everybody else basically is going to know what happened except for Ariana because she walked away. Everybody else knows what they said.
Yes, yes. And I'm sure they've all seen the Lala saying, never have I seen someone who got cheated on and thought they were God.
Ariana would have seen that as well.
Yeah, but exactly.
But I think it's just designed to get that reaction from her, which seems needlessly cruel, but we'll see next week how this all, well, no, 3 weeks from now on the part three, we'll see how this all turns out.
Yeah, what a finale. Wow. I do think it's the end as we know it. In some way, shape, or form, they may be back, but I don't know. I'm not sure. But, Narelle, we also have something else to talk about today.
We sure do.
It's the valley.
The valley. Let's go over to the valley.
And it's a lot lighter over there, honey. kind of. But also darker in some ways. Oh, God. Yeah. The Valley, season one, episode, didn't write it down.
8, the invite fight.
Thank you.
That's teamwork, baby.
Oh, that is teamwork. We need teamwork today. So we start out by seeing Jax and Brittany kind of picking up from their fight last week, like the big explosive fight about having baby number two. And Jax is like, no, yeah, drunk, I don't want to, basically. And then we see him come back. Yeah, I know. My delivery sucks. I'm learning. And you know what? He came back, so maybe he is.
That's always been his ploy. He just explains everything. I'm learning to be a better person, you guys. Like, that's just Jax. I found it really interesting that, yes, it was on camera, so maybe it wasn't a true conversation, but Brittany doesn't even seem to be honest with her mom.
Yes, girl. I saw that. Like, it's because he'll be too busy with the bar. Honey, it's not just the bar, okay?
We just gotta stay positive and keep going and, you know, everything's gonna be all right, Mom, okay?
That was a very good Brittany, by the way.
Thank you. It's becoming the voice in my head. I actually should probably stop because
it might stick.
It might stick. And then my life would be over as I know it.
And then your face will be turned upside down for the rest of time.
God.
Sorry. I know. She was botched. Sorry, everyone. Yeah, she's delusional and has the emotional intelligence of a rock, actually. Or so it seems.
Or a gecko.
Don't. Only Kristen. Would eat that food. And her face when she did it, it's honestly was hysterical.
I might try it. Like gecko food. That's like just fruit.
I could see you doing it. Like, you know, Janet and Jason are having a hibachi dinner and they're inviting everyone except for Crazy Kristen, the agent of chaos. And Kristen's unbothered because she's just eating gecko food.
Literally, it takes an agent of chaos to know another agent of chaos, okay?
Janet needs to put up a boundary. Yeah, Janet's trying too hard. Okay?
Okay? She is. Yeah. Yep. She is, I'm going to say, maybe more of an agent of chaos than Kristen, because everybody can see Kristen coming.
So true.
People don't seem to really realize what Janet's doing.
Except Jax, because it takes one to know one. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So Jasmine and Kristen meet for lunch, and I love Jasmine. I appreciate her on the show. You need someone who's stable, for God's sake, okay? And I'm not going to talk about Danny and Nia. I think they're stable in a different way than Jasmine is. She's a straight shooter. She's just like, hey, Jax told me, like, you had all the info that Michelle was texting other men. And she's like, excuse me? Because as we suspected, Norelle, Kristen confirms it was Brittany. She was the one that told Jax.
And she's like, who's the only person talking about it right now? Jax. Like, they did it. They orchestrated this entire thing. Brittany told Jax. And then Jax starts running around to everybody, spreading this little rumor that, you know, Kristen's doing this, Kristen's doing that. And Kristen is the one who's going to take the heat for it.
Of course. Like, and Brittany in last week's episode even said, oh, Jax, you just love to gossip. You're such a gossip, Jax. Mm-hmm. Then she's like, hey, guess what? Michelle's having an affair with an actor.
Don't tell anybody.
Just tell Kristen and then blame her.
Yes. Plant that seed and then make it look as if we're not involved. And we also found out that it was an actor. Mm-hmm. So not, what, who'd you say? Scorsese?
Well, there was I still think the director is real, whatever that relationship is, whether it's business.
Oh, so it's a director and an actor.
Uh-huh. Curious, right? I mean, Michelle's a beautiful woman, but she doesn't exactly strike me as like...
She doesn't have the personality or the pizzazz that I would think. You know what I mean? I
know. Like, they show up to this hibachi dinner and Jesse's like, you excited? Super. She's like, just... okay, let's just try to have fun. Okay?
She's very flat. She's tap water.
When they... Okay, I'm sorry. This is cruel. They flash back on Brittany taking that sake shot, and they put it in slow motion, and Jax is just sitting beside her, unknowing about what is about to happen here. Yes. Laughing, giggling, thinking this is a wonderful time, and all you see is Brittany's face just like...
I was so annoyed at her for this.
What did you think about his behavior toward her?
Well, it was hypocritical. Everything Jax does is hypocritical, though, so par for the course. He did seem to be referencing the fact that Brittany knows sake makes her sick.
Right, or alcohol in general, maybe?
Well, I thought it was specific to sake.
Okay, I took it more as alcohol.
So that would be where my opinion would change. Mm-hmm. If I was with my partner who hates sake because sake makes them sick and they took a shot of sake on an empty stomach, I'd be annoyed. And then like they became sick and they're like, I have to go. And I'd be like, why the fuck did you just do a shot of sake?
Yeah. I'd be annoyed. 100. Yeah, I would too. Not gonna lie.
Like if it was just more commentary on how she's a drunk, that would change my opinion back, I think.
Well, because as he left, he was walking out. He's like, it's the drinking. Told you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
sassy.
Like, she didn't even say goodbye to anybody either.
I know. But they all knew she was not feeling well. But that hit fast. Like, that took hold real fast.
Imagine having a shot of warm sake on an empty stomach.
I've never had sake.
I think I had some once. And I'm sure it's delicious. But I don't like any hard liquor. So it was fucking disgusting.
Right. Yeah. Ugh. Warm. The warmness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe one day. We'll do our first sake shot, our first real one together.
Oh, on air.
Yes.
When I come to visit you.
Oh my gosh. God,
we've got so many things planned.
Yeah, we really.
Gonna have to tone it down a little bit.
Yeah. We'll probably do none of those things.
Probably.
Yep. We'll just sit here talking the whole time.
This game that they're playing is fucking brutal.
Drag your heart. I loved this fucking game, but I loved Zach's pukey faces he was making. Every time they, like, there was a corny answer, like, mainly to Jesse, he's like, he's so funny. I love him.
Jasmine and Nia really came out on top for, like, all the answers. Like, everybody wants to sleep with Jasmine or Nia.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they would probably be my choices as well. Given the options.
If you had to choose a guy, though, who would it be?
If I had to choose a guy? Jason.
Yeah, no. I'm going to take Jason out because that's just too easy.
Well.
I mean, it only leaves Danny. But Danny's not even that great to me anymore.
He's fallen
off of his pedestal.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh, for something he did in this epi or?
No.
Oh, okay.
For the previous epi.
Okay.
Previous epis.
Yeah, Danny's just a little too nice for me, you know? Mm. You know, we all know how I love tortured, horrible men.
Ew, so who would you then?
Jesse.
Stop it. You're a sick bitch.
I know.
Jesse just doesn't even strike me as being fun in bed, though.
Yeah, that's true. But Jax?
Jax is probably fun in bed when he's attracted to you.
Mm.
You know, like...
Yeah,
him and Brittany used to get it on at Times Square.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Which is really weird to imagine.
I kind of think of them all as not into that at all anymore. So, which, who knows? I saw Jax actually in an interview, a Canadian interview.
Oh, I saw that one too.
Yes. Doing the milk, the jug of milk and all. Yeah. The bag of milk.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody who hasn't seen the interview or who doesn't know, in some parts of Canada, I think mainly Eastern Canada, we drink milk in a bag. Like the milk comes in a plastic bag. I've never had it here either. But like you go to the store and you have to buy your milk in a plastic bag. It's just fucking weird.
It is so fucking weird. But Jax said he handled it quite well and his Canadian trivia was pretty good.
Pretty impressive. He knew a lot of provinces, which not a lot of Americans can probably say that.
You probably don't even know what provinces are. No offense.
Oh, that's not funny. We're not laughing at you.
I'm sorry.
Sarah, most of our listeners are American.
Good God, I'm such a bitch. Told you, sick bitch. Anyways, before I get myself in more trouble, I think I just need to point out that I think Zach revealed there could be a swinger type of situation happening here between Jax and Brittany and Janet and Jason.
What? Did I miss?
Okay. So Zach was, of course, Jax's partner. When the question was asked, who would your spouse want to sleep with in this group? And who would you want to sleep with in this group? Answer for both. Mm-hmm. So Zach says, on good authority, because I have been told by Brittany, she wants to sleep with Jason. And I know that Jax wants to sleep with Jant. And Jax answered exactly the same as well.
I thought Jax answered that they both wanted to sleep with Jasmine.
Oh, did he?
I could be wrong.
Could be. No, you're right. You're fucking right. It's a long, long time ago.
We're so good at this.
You could just delete this whole scene.
Thank you for listening to our professional podcast. Just
take this whole thing.
No.
Just cut the shit.
I won't do it. I won't do,
do it. Do it.
You're right, though. He probably was maybe insinuating. He said it's the I have it on good authority part that's intriguing to me. That I wasn't. I was too drunk watching this show, honestly. I don't.
Well, I watched it this morning, for heaven's sake. I'm just having a day. I'm having a day.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
All right. Kristen's business meeting thing. What was that? It was a meeting. It was
a plan. People. It was a plan talk.
I was very struck by the way that Zach sticks up for Kristen in private and in his confessionals, but just not in the moment when there's an audience.
Right. I do think Zach is a giant people pleaser, you know?
He's very duplicitous, I believe.
You think? I think he has Kristen's back, big time.
As long as nobody is there to challenge him on it. So far, all I've really seen is instances where he sides with everybody against her.
Hmm.
And then in private, he's like, oh, you know what, Kristen, you're actually right.
Weird. I did notice that at the beginning, but even in the last, like the big explosion at the dinner, I do feel like Zach was trying to mend those fences between Jesse and Michelle and Kristen. I don't know. I like him. I think he's got good intentions, but he could be very duplicitous. Maybe that's why I like him, because I hate shit men.
I think, like, I like him because he's funny and his hair amuses me, but I think he has shady intentions.
Okay. I'm going to keep an eye on this.
Definitely. We'll see.
Yeah, I love that Zach is the only one who will film with Kristen at this point. So he, like, shows up. He's like, hey.
Even Luke, this episode, was like, no, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, Luke's like, I'm fucking done.
I'm out of here.
Yes. Like, Zach knows that Janet is shady. And they flash back to all the drama Janet has tried stirring up, which is hilarious. Because Zach then tells Kristen, like, Janet's mad at you for ruining another event. And then there's Janet, like, the mastermind. He did convince Kristen to invite Michelle and Janet to her event, though. Or so he thought.
Did he? Yeah. I kind of wish cameras were going along with Jesse to his spiritual retreat. Like, I want to see this man tripping.
I would love to see this man tripping. Maybe he'll take some of his own footage.
Oh, that would be amazing. He's like packing for his spiritual retreat. And Michelle is like, I hope you can change a little bit. Just like your entire personality would be good.
That was so ruthless. Even he knew. He's like, we're fucked. Like,
yeah.
She doesn't like me.
If you could just change like who you are as a person, I think that would be really beneficial for our relationship and for me.
Yeah, she is unfazed and unbothered at this point. She's so far past this. So Nia holds a self-defense class, which was really cute. And Janet and Michelle just refused to come because Kristen was invited. So I'm like, Janet, why didn't you use the excuse you're like 8 months pregnant? You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's very petty.
It's
very so immature.
So mean girl stuff, you know?
Yeah. I loved everybody's face when Kristen was like, I'm such a peacemaker.
Jasmine's like, peacemaker.
She like mouths at peacemaker. What? Empath? What?
What is happening in this Delulu head of yours, babe? Brittany was driving me nuts here, though.
I know. Something about her was really bothering me this whole show.
Yeah.
But mainly this episode.
Yeah. Was it her mouth?
Yes, and also the things that were coming out of it. I guess this was after Kristen called herself a peacemaker. She was like, you sure ain't. You're the one out there saying that I'm bringing this up and I'm bringing that up. And it's like, you did. You did, Brittany.
You did. You literally did.
You told Jax.
And Jax sent Kristen a text proving it, for fuck's sake.
Thank the fucking text gods that Kristen saved that text. And that's the proof. That is the proof right there. You guys are the orchestrators. You're the puppeteers.
Yes. As we see again at the end of this episode, because Janet is like, no, I'm not inviting Kristen or Zach to my baby moon trip to Big Bear. And Britt says she's so upset about Kristen not being invited. You know, this is where Jax and her kind of get into a tiff. And she rips his phone right out of his hands.
Out of his hand.
And I'm like,
on the one hand, like, I bet he was on Instagram.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like, I get not wanting to rehash this petty bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Like, let me be on Instagram in fucking peace. But you know what? You're on camera, too. Like, that's your job.
That's so true. This isn't just like at home. I can't imagine what they're like at home, because I do feel Brittany just puts on this facade and her all the time on camera. It's so hard to know where she's at.
100%.
So this is what I mean, where we see it again, because it's Kristen's event. Great. Fine. It's all fine and dandy. T-shirts everywhere. Nice. The same gal who just claims she doesn't talk crap immediately beelines it to Zach and is like, yeah, Janet isn't inviting Kristen or you to Big Bear.
Sorry, I have to be the one who tells you that, even though I rushed right over here because I wanted to be the first one to tell you. I'm sorry about that.
And Jax basically calls a group meeting to announce it again to everybody.
Yeah. Yep.
I think Kristen is spot on when she's like, you know, Janet just wants to assert herself as the queen bee.
But why is Zach being singled out?
Is it because he's friends with Kristen? Like the closest one to her?
Or is it because they all know he also has shady tendencies?
Ooh. Ooh. Good point.
I don't know. Maybe both.
Well, he would report everything to Kristen.
True. Maybe Janet is just one of those crazy people who's like, couples only.
I hate this. If Janet is actually like that, that's so disrespectful.
Those are the rules. It's nothing against you, okay? I support you being single, but it's just, it would be weird if you were there as a single person because, like, we're all in couples, you know?
That is, oh man, I need to know. I need to know. Poor Zach.
Yeah, he was crushed. And I mean, I would also be crushed if somebody made a giant announcement at a party that I wasn't being invited somewhere.
Exactly.
I would find that hurtful.
Yeah, 100. Well, that's the end of the valley for this week. And it's always that's like
the valley.
A little palate cleanser. So next week, I'm sure more drama. We're going to see Jesse come back.
I got 2 episodes left.
Wow, okay.
So the valley is going to be over before VPR.
Yeah, weird. Okay, okay.
And then we've just got Summer House in Jersey.
Jersey. Yeah, Jersey.
Speaking of Jersey, make sure if you haven't yet, head on over to our episode that we released on Monday, the recap for the premiere of Jersey. And keep in mind as well, usually we've been releasing our Summer House episodes on Friday, but now we are going to be releasing Summer House on Monday with Jersey. Yep.
For the daughters.
Daughters. All the daughters.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for being here. We hope you have a great rest of the week.
Sure and I do.
We'll talk to you on Monday.
Yeah. Have a great weekend, guys. But until then, stay truthful.
But not hopeless. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Oh, I feel like I need another drink.